we all understood that this phase is a really serious phase, and when you're dealing with serious business, you can trust serious opposition from the devil, right? And so I hope that none of us are surprised by the things that are happening. I don't plan to spend a lot of time talking about all that's happening to me and my house, because I didn't come here to exalt my problems, right? Neither did you, right? But we don't deny them. Yes? And so it's just a wonderful thing to see that God will give victory, even though we could go around every seat here and talk about the battles that we've had to fight just this week, right? So y'all pray for me. I mean, I don't know what's going on in my voice, but I'm determined to do the best I can today, all right? Today, we're going to take a look at a little section of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. It's only three verses, but I want to use that as kind of a launching pad, just for a few thoughts this morning, and see if God won't again help us to be more resilient as we face things this week, right? And as we prepare for the next phase of our life together. It's Ephesians chapter 5. It's verses 15, 16, and 17. If you're physically able, would you please, let's honor God and stand. I'd like to read these verses in your hearing, and then we'll ask God for his help as we try to understand them together and then apply them to our lives, all right? Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 15, it reads, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Amen. Lord, we bow together as people of God. We bow together as children of God. We bow together as branches on the true vine, as soldiers in the Lord's army. We bow together now, looking to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. We bow together now, fixing our eyes on Jesus and calling upon you, Lord, because we need help right now. I need you to help this old lump of clay to finish what you've charged me to do today. And I'm asking you to do the same for every lump of clay in these seats around this room, Lord. We're clay in the potter's hand. And so would you shape us and mold us today that we can be useful as we finish our time of worship. Help us to understand what you've said here, what you mean by what you say, how it applies to our lives, and then give us grace to order our lives according to your will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Our subject for today is be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. We have seen these past, five, six, 7 weeks or more, the value of confidence in knowing who you are and knowing what you're to do for the Lord, and confidence in knowing about your eternal future. Today, I want you to see that the Christian must also, and because of these things, because we have confidence in who we are and what we're doing and confidence about the future, we must be wise in how we use our time. You see, just because you know the future doesn't mean that you can now kick back and just coast on in. You see? And so that's a challenge for those of us who are interested in eschatology. It's a good thing to know what the Bible teaches about eschatology. But once you know it and you accept it, then the Bible would say, now live holy. Now that you know that, don't just cruise. Be more resilient now, right? And so the Christian needs to be wise in how we use our time. And the very first verse of Ephesians chapter 5 says that the Christian should be imitators, you see, of God as his children. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as his children. And then he takes up a theme right before we get to our text. Then he begins to contrast verses 3, 4, 5, on up to 13. He begins to contrast how Christians live as children of light and how that compares to the world that lives as what? Children of darkness. All right? You see, because that's the issue. When you think about your glorious future and all that God has for you, then imitate God in his thinking, imitate God in his actions, and then live like children of light. See, children of God. And then finally in verse 14, he says to us Christians, now, so you got to stay, you got to be alert and stay alert. What's the slang? You got to be woke or whatever that thing. You got to live like you're woke, right? So, come on, Christian. If anybody can live an alert life, it's us. But it's not automatic, right? It's not just something that you turn on and off. Staying alert is hard work, right? And so you got to be willing to put the time in, and I'm going to show you that today. I want to center our thinking around these two big ideas. I want you to see that as a Christian, there's a definite need for me to make wise use of my time. So we're going to talk about making wise use of time. And then lastly, we're going to talk about understanding the will of the Lord. Okay? Use my time wisely and understand God's will. Those are the two big thoughts I want to kind of unpack briefly, and we'll be done for today. Now you back in Ephesians 5. Take a look at the very first verse again, verse 15. You notice what he says? Look carefully then how you walk, right? So that's the first exhortation or the first challenge that we find the Holy Spirit through Paul putting out there before the Ephesians and before you and me. Look carefully. Now, this is important, so I want you to stay with me just a few minutes on this point. Time was defined in the Old Testament, okay, or in Genesis in particular. You remember after we find God doing that early, the creation there early on in chapter 1, I think by the time he gets down to verse 5, he says that, and he called the light, what? Day, and he called the darkness night, right? And then it goes on to say, then evening and morning was what? The first day. So that's important because you've got all of this, what shall I call it, speculation about what's going on in the book of Genesis. Some people want a day to be thousands of years. And see, as they try to incorporate evolution and all these kind of things into Genesis. But you read what I just read, right? I mean, you've seen that. Even if you haven't, you can turn to Genesis 1:5. It says, then it's evening. And morning, what? That's the definition of a day. Right? In your Bible? Evening plus morning equals one day. So you don't need to go into all those speculative conversations about what one day is in the book of Genesis. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So it's in the Old Testament, we find time defined. We find an hour defined, a day. A week, the Old Testament is the one that tells us what a week is, and a month, a year, you see? So the Bible defines time for us, and it started at creation. Because before creation, there was eternity past. God is what? From everlasting to everlasting. And then at some point in eternity, he decided to create. You see? That's when time. That's when he started time. You see? And so that's how we come up with day what? One. And then day two. You get it? So, now keep that in mind as we talk about this. That phrase there, look carefully, and I won't get into the Greek etymology, but what it means is to be accurate. You get it? So when you see this exhortation to those Christians and you and me, is saying, be accurate, Willie. Be accurate, be precise. You see? Give close attention to a matter. And that's what he's saying. You see how he says it? Look carefully then how you walk. Okay? So, what's your point, Brother Willie? My point is this. We must be precise and accurate with the way we plan our time and our lives. And I don't have a lot to talk about today, but this is so important in our day and age. You need to be very precise with how you plan your time. Every one of us knows this challenge. I remember when I was about to leave Southwestern Bell. Of course, back in those days, it's called retirement. Okay, back in 2001. And it's an amazing thing. When you're getting ready to change these phases of life, people assume that because you're no longer doing what you used to do, you got a whole lot of time to do what they want you to do. You ready? You experience that? They assume that because you don't do what you used to do, now you got a lot of time to do what I want you to do. And yet, what I found the challenge, when I was working, I could get up at 4:30 and, you know, do what I needed to do and get my Bible study in and, you see, get prepared for the day. But then I found after retirement, I stayed up later, and what did I do? I woke up later. Now, I mean, 27 years, I thought I was a disciplined man until I stopped applying that hard discipline to my life. Because now, even in my thinking, I got all day. You see? You see the challenge with that? Now, I'm getting sloppy with my time. You understand what I'm saying? I had to be precise before because I had to catch the bus. You see? The bus wasn't going to wait. Anybody ever caught the bus? I mean, thank God for the buses, but if you're going to catch the bus, you need to be there when the bus arrives. Yes? So that's the whole idea. So I had to plan that. It had to be planned. I had to be precise. And so I want you to get this now. So when we must be precise and accurate with planning our lives, planning our time. So as you set your goals, don't set sloppy goals. Be precise. See, be accurate with what your objectives are. You understand? Be precise with the you got to be realistic too. Yes, but we're going to get to this in a minute. That's the reason you need to make sure that you're doing what God wants done. But be precise with your schedules. You see? And have some accountability. No man, no woman is an island. All of us would like to think that if I set a schedule, I'm going to keep it. But everybody in this room needs some accountability when you make a plan, when you're setting out to do something. So you understand? That's the whole idea there about being accurate, is that we need to be precise. So if we're going to make wise use of our time, the first thing we've got to do is look carefully. The second thing that's mentioned there is what I call live wisely. You got to look carefully and live wisely. Look at verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but wise. You see that? And so that's what I mean is when I say live wisely. Live wisely. like you're a wise man or woman, not an unwise one. What does that mean, Brother Willie? There are specific opportunities that are presented for each Christian, but look at this, at specific periods of time. This word here, kairos, this word has to do with a specific period of time. So that's the reason it's called an opportunity. You need to be precise, Willie, because this window is what? Is narrow. Anybody in the room, you know, I don't even have to ask you, but everybody in this room knows times that you missed what? Opportunities, right? And why did I miss it? Because I didn't take advantage of it when? At that period of time, right? Now, thank God he's gracious, and there are times that he what? Gives us other opportunities, but that's the issue is, don't presume upon God like that. Now, I thank God for grace. None of us would be here without it. But the Bible says, don't presume on it. Don't assume that you're going to get a second, third, or fourth opportunity. Try to do it right, what? The first time. You understand what I'm saying? So, be specific. Be precise. And be wise. You know? Look for those opportunities, those periods of time. See, here's the deal. Every Christian is given the same amount of time in a 24-hour period. Now, it's really extraordinary. You look at some people and you wonder how they get it all done, right? But the fact is, they were given the what? Same 24 hours that you were. All of us know people like that, don't you? You just wonder how they get it all squeezed in. And I was, be quite honest with you, I was like that when I had that really rigid schedule. There was a news station that came out and interviewed Philip. He was in high school about something or other. And they were after they got done with him, they found out I was a pastor. I was bivocational. And so their question to me was, how do you do all that? Now, I know they wouldn't understand, but grace is all I could say. There is no logical, it's not because I'm so skilled at this thing or that thing. You understand? But by grace, I was able to get it all done in that 24-hour period. Okay? And so we keep that in mind, is that no one in the room has an advantage over that. You see, everybody is given the same 24 hours. The question is, are you specific with it or sloppy? Are you wise or are you presumptuous? You following this? This is really the issue for us. I remember I was at a funeral a few years back, and I heard this preacher say, you have to think of life like a clock. God winds that clock up at the beginning of your life. And what's it doing? It's ticking down. You understand? Now, I'm not saying that we're all going to live the same length of time, but whatever your clock is ticking. Right? So you need to what? Make the most. Before the clock what? Stops ticking. Everybody follow me? The Christian must not waste time and miss opportunities. You see what he says here? Look at verse 16. Make the best use of time because the days are evil. You see that? That phrase, make the best use of time, literally means take advantage of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. So don't waste time. I'm talking to you, but I can tell you for sure I've wasted time. Yes? Didn't intend on it, but you can look back on it and see what? That was a waste of time. Watch too much TV. Yes? I don't know what you did. Ate too much ice cream, whatever it is. Whatever the thing it is, I realized that was not what? A wise use of my time. And as a Christian, God says to us, you live in an evil world, Willie. You can't be wasting time like that. While you are laying back, the devil is doing his thing. Right? And your family, and at the job, and this, you see, this place and that. And we've already been through this. So, Willie, I sent you there to be salt and light, but you're laying back. You're missing opportunities because you won't be salt and light. You see? And so, what John says to us in 1 John 2, he says, do not love the world. Yes? Or the things of the world. Right? The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, pride and possession, right? These things are of the world and they are what? Passing away. Again, I've told you about my obsession with cars. And I can tell you, I'm a man that has wasted way too much time on cars. Right? You pick yours, clothes, furniture, I don't know. And I'm not being critical, I'm just saying. You see, the challenge is to spend my time properly, even though I want to love life and have good days, but I can be wasting time on something that doesn't matter. Yes? And you see, so he says, Willie, you put your name in there. Don't love the world, Willie. Your car's going to rust. And it'll happen in your lifetime, Willie. You're going to want to get rid of that car, most of us. If you're buying one nowadays, you will get rid of it. They used to make them the last. They got built-in obsolescence in them right now. Right? So, whatever it is you're buying, furniture, clothes, it's passing away. Yeah? And so don't love the world. But the other flip side of that, in 1 John 4, he says that, talks about fear. And he says what? Perfect love, what? Cast out fear. So we don't love the world, neither do we what? Fear it. Yes? Yeah. We have a proper, a balanced perspective. I'm in this world, but what? Not of it. And I can live in this world and not be enamored with it, not be in love of it, or not be afraid. Because ultimately, what can man what? Do to me? Ultimately, what can the devil do to me? You understand? So, making wise use of our time needs to be paramount. Because whether you accept it or not, your clock is winding down just like mine. Now, I may be closer than you. I don't know. But I tell you this. You shouldn't assume that I'm closer just because I'm older. Right? None of us should presume upon God. The Bible calls that what? Presumptuous sin. So if God tells you as a young person to make good use of your time, you need to do that. All of us have young friends that didn't make it to old age. Yes? So we agreed? We're good so far? Y'all remember, there's this TV ad. I think it's AT&T. This TV ad that says, just okay is not okay. You ever seen that commercial? So, you know, guy's going for a brake job. And, you know, the mechanic there said, oh, we do okay. We do okay with brakes. We got a slogan here that if the brakes don't stop you, something will. You things like that. You go into a doctor and they say they do okay work. Or, I mean, whatever the case may be. You see the meaning behind that. Just okay is not okay for something that's important to you. Right? But now, do we live our lives like that with God? I'm doing my best. And you know what that's saying. It's just okay, but I'm doing my best. So we know we're making what? Excuses. Just okay is not okay with God. God wants our best all the time. You see, Not the time after I'm tired. I've done all that I want to do now. I want to get along with God. I can't even still wait. And I've done it. Worn myself out. Now I'm ready to go meet with God. And that's my excuse with God. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I got to get some rest. You see? You didn't make the best use of your time, Willie. That's just okay, Willie. Just okay is not okay with God. We good? Don't get mad at me now. We just talking. We just talking. This is what, if we're going to make wise use of our time, we need to think about these kind of realities. You don't want to spend your money on pharmaceuticals, or you wouldn't dare have a surgeon. You're getting ready to have a very important surgery, and they tell you, this is an okay surgeon. You understand the analogy there. And yet you represent God, and you represent him as just an okay Christian. You understand? Something wrong with that. I want to be the best, right? But you got to invest some time if you want to be, we got tennis players here. Roger's not here today, but I mean, if you take any activity, if you're going to improve and grow, you got to invest some what? Some time in it. For where a man's heart is, where a man's treasure is what? There his heart will be also. So keep that in mind. All right, and so then the last point I wanted to talk about then is understanding the will of the Lord. Making wise use of our time is the first thing, and then lastly talk about understanding the will of the Lord. And you see that in verse 17? He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so I want to answer two questions here, and then we'll wrap it up. So what is he talking about here? This is a really challenging subject matter to define, and so this is probably simplistic, but this will get us started, because I'm probably going to need to take another 3 or 4 weeks to kind of unpack this. But this will get us started, okay? This is my elementary definition, if you will. God's will is his plan and purpose for everything and everyone that he has created. Okay? His will is his plan and purpose for everyone and everything that he has created. There's a proverb, Proverbs 16:4. And if you've never seen it before, make note of this proverb. This is a really, really, really important proverb. And I'll read it rather than just quoting it to you. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord has made everything for its purpose. Do you hear that? Now, that's the first phrase. But then listen at the last part of that verse. Even the wicked for the day of trouble. Isn't that interesting? You see, God's will and plan, He has a plan and a purpose for everything and everyone that he's created, whether you appreciate it or not, whether they appear to be cooperating with you or not. You understand? Whether you can see the good in them or it or not. You see it? So that's the place to be, is I want to know God's will. One other verse, and again, I'm going to just read these, if you don't mind, rather than just quoting them to you. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Incredible verse. As we see this worship going on in heaven, these are the words that ring out from those worshiping God. Verse 11, it says, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Then the word what? For. Or what? Because. What did he do? You created all things, and by your will, they existed and were created. You get it? Everything exists because God willed it to be so. Everything that's being sustained is because God wills it to be so. Whether it's the most tyrannical ruler that you know, the most demonic person that you know was created by God for a specific purpose. The person who irritates you the most in life was created by God for a specific purpose. Isn't that good? So you can rest. You see, you don't have to try to figure all that out. Rest in God's will, okay? But you need to know that that's the issue here. Understanding the will of God is challenging. That's the reason we're going to need to spend a few weeks on it. You see, that's simple. I mean, you can read that. What does that take you? 5 seconds to read that. But this is challenging. To know that God has a plan and a purpose for everything in my life. It's one thing to know that intellectually. But to get that really as a part of the fabric of my life is a challenge. Everything that God has created and put in my life is for my good. Everything. Right? The rocking chair verse, Romans 8:28. Because he can what? Cause, and he does cause, what? All things to work together for the good of those that love him and call. So you see that? That's the reason I need to get this elementary thing. I need to settle that. You see, else you'll find yourself like Job. Job got under pressure. Now he's there before God. I wish I was never born. My brother, my sister. No. Don't ever get to that place. You're born because God has a plan and a purpose for you. Just because it's hard doesn't mean that that's not a part of the purpose. Yes? This is important. Because this theology that's going around nowadays, it's got people thinking wrong. Christians are thinking wrong. That something's wrong when life gets hard or when you get deprived or persecuted. You see all of these kinds of things. You can't appreciate the will of God and the purpose of God. Yes? So that's my elementary definition. And I want to kind of package that with this statement here when I talk about what the will of God is. That's my statement. The highest good or the highest accomplishment is to know the will of the Lord and what? Do it. Simply knowing it is not enough. We talked about this in Bible study this morning. James says the one that hears and does not do is simply a what? A hearer. It's those that hear and do that prove they have real faith. Amen. Right? And so the highest good and the greatest, the highest accomplishment in your life will be to know and to do the will of the Lord. Y'all remember, I think that's Psalm 25. The psalmist is there praying. He said, make me know your ways, O Lord. Or teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Right? You're the God of my salvation. And for you, what? I wait all the day long. Make me know your ways. God has to do that for us. Just as David prayed, create in me a what? A clean heart. God has to do that for us. You don't have the capacity to reveal God's will to yourself. He has to do that. Again, this is a big subject matter, and so we'll spend a few weeks talking about it, okay? There's some things you're not going to know because they're not designed for you. You couldn't, you remember the old, I won't go there. Some people think they want to know a whole lot more. You think you can handle a whole lot more than you can. And it's tragic to say most of us don't even deal with what we already know. We're not even handling what we already know properly, but we think we need to know more. So when we get to dealing with the will of God, we're going to find out there's some aspects of his will that are off boundary. You got no business messing around over there. You don't need to be asking him questions about it or trying to dabble in it because it's out of your purview. How the military said, this is above some of your, what do they call it, grade or whatever the thing is. There's some aspects of God's will that is way above your grade. Yes? And you don't have the proper clearance. Or I'm not trying to be too mundane there, but you understand. But I got enough over here in that where I have clearance. Right? I got enough to deal with over here that he's already made known to me. I'm not handling it properly. You see, I'm not precise with it. I'm not accurate with it. I'm sloppy all over here. Now, I want to get into that restricted area over there, and I'm just as sloppy as I can be over here with the area that he's given me to take care of. You see the problem? I think I can handle more time when I'm not dealing with the time that I have. Jesus, as he was teaching us to pray, talked about your kingdom come, what? Your will be done, right? As Jesus was praying there in the garden, you know, in that agony before his crucifixion. He said, what, not my will? What? Yours, right? Yours be done. And so that's the issue. That's the highest good for all of us. And the highest accomplishment is to actually know and do God's will. You know it. You know this is what God wants for me, and I know I'm doing it. That's a good place to be, my brother and my sister. Yeah, that's a good place to be right there. Understand God's will, that's what. And then finally, why? Why do we need to understand what the will of the Lord is? He said, let me go. Get back over here to it. Ephesians 5:17. He says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Why is it that we want to know what the Lord's will is? Because, number one, we have an evil enemy. Yes? And we live in an evil world. Now, that may not sink into you right away. But I've got an evil enemy trying to destroy me. I've got an evil system that enemy is manipulating and influencing, and that system is working against me. So I want to know God's will so that I can maneuver through this evil around, or however he wants me to deal with this evil enemy and maneuver through this evil system. Because God has made a plan, a pathway for me. He said, Willie, once you have come onto this narrow path, you can't do what you used to do. When you were on that broad road, you could do all that you wanted to do. But on this narrow road, you came through the small gate, you're on the narrow road, you don't have that kind of liberty. So I want to know his will so that I can get through. You've seen these corn mazes and things that they have on these farms. I'm not saying that life is a corn maze, but I am. Life is actually worse than that because we got an enemy that is so deceptive that left to yourself, he would destroy you. As a matter of fact, isn't that what the gospel says? If we were left to ourselves, he would deceive even the elect, if it were possible. That's how deceptive he is. You can't handle the devil on your own. Don't listen to all this theology. Stop talking to him. Why are you talking to the devil? Jesus didn't... Oh, let the Lord deal with the devil. Yeah. You talk to the Lord. Yes. Talk to your Father. People spending way much too much time talking to the devil. The first person that did that, you know how that turned out, right? And she was in all of the glory of God. No, you know what I mean? She's created She's created with the potential to sin, but there she is in holiness, right? Not like you and I. You and I were born sinners. You see the difference? And so even though we're a new creation on the inside, here people are trying to deal with the devil in our mixed up state. Just know God's will. That ought to be enough for you. The devil don't know what to do with you when you're doing God's will. He came to Christ, and every time he tried to engage Christ in that conversation, what did he do? Have you not read? You see? Don't go in and talk, telling the devil what to do. Who are you? I remember John MacArthur. I remember one time John MacArthur was talking about people. He got all this theology where you tell the devil what to do. John MacArthur said, listen, your own children don't do what you tell them to do. How in the world do you think the devil is going to do what you tell them to do? Now, that's a bit sarcastic, but you see the point. The Lord needs to deal with the devil. He's the Lord's devil. Now, again, you don't need to fear him. The Bible never teaches us to fear him. But we live in an evil world, and you need to know how to live in this evil world. God's will keeps us from living a foolish and an unwise life. And I'm saying to you, there's a lot of foolishness going on when it comes to the devil and this evil world. A lot of foolishness going on. You see what he says here? Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We want to be, what? Good, wise, and faithful servants. That's how Matthew 24 and 25 ends. You've heard these commendations before, right? Well done, good and what? Faithful servant. That's what we all want to hear. And so I'm saying that because when you see believers that have been victorious, it wasn't that they weren't attacked by the devil. It wasn't that they weren't oppressed by the devil. The devil attempted to deceive. These are all a part of his schemes. But the Bible says what? God gives us the what? The whole armor of God. And you know, virtually all of that armor is what? Defensive, except what? The one offensive weapon. What is it? The sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The Word of God. So you see? If you're going to be saying something, say what God says. Don't be trying to engage the devil on his turf. See, don't let him get in your head. This is the battleground. I don't want to hear. Why would I want to be in that conversation with the devil? I'm not coming down to that level. Soon as he, you see what he did for Eve? Just as soon as he gets a little crack. See, come on, Willie, let's talk about this. See what it is? What? Why would I want to waste time when I've got the will of God that I need to be spending my time on? You see the difference? And the will of God will actually tell you how to pray about the situation. The will of God will actually show you what the devil is doing. You see the difference? So, understand the will of the Lord. And so when it comes to these issues, I spent a lot more time there than I was planning on it, but hopefully you get the point. My brother, my sister, be imitators of God. What's your point, Brother Willie? You need to work when it's time to work. Work while it's time to work. While while you are waiting for things to change and maybe get better, you're missing out on God-given opportunities. You see? You've been waiting for weeks for things to change and get better, and God has shown you the opportunity right in the midst of it. But your mind is so fixed on waiting for things to change that you're missing out on the opportunity. You see it? What are you waiting for? Do you know God's will for your life at this present time? If you don't know His will, then my question to you is why? Why don't you know God's will for your life? If you do not know His will for your life now, and you are not doing it, excuse me, if you do know God's will for your life now and you're not doing it, my question to you is why? Why would you not do? I told you the highest, the greatest good is to not only know it, but what? To do it. So if you know God's will and you're procrastinating, waiting on things to change, I'm going to get involved when this happens. And when this happens and that happens, you see? You're missing opportunities when you know what God wants you to do and you keep procrastinating. Yes? If you don't know His will, and perhaps you don't know how to discern or discover His will, then that's what we're going to spend the next few weeks doing. So I don't want you to be in despair. Because you find yourself saying, I don't know. That's all right. That's the reason we're family. We want to spend time together so that you can know. And those who know have enough grace in your heart to be patient and loving for those that don't know, right, to come along. My exhortation to all of us, though, is to make sure that we are not missing opportunities to serve the Lord and do His will because we are waiting for things to get better at home, waiting for things to get better at school, waiting for things to get better and change on the job, waiting for things to get better in the church, in the neighborhood, waiting for things, you see, waiting for better health. Many of us could, if you only knew the physical problems that Christians have to move through to do the Lord's will. If you're going to wait until everything's worked out, my brother, my sister, you're going to miss lots of opportunities, right? Amen. Waiting for a better financial situation. You see it? Waiting for the family situation to get better. Waiting, procrastinating, making excuses while we are wasting precious time. The exhortation here is to be imitators of God. You remember what God did? He worked when it was time to work, and He rested what? When it was time to rest. We've got to be that discerning about how we use our time. Make the best use of your time, my brother, my sister, because the days are evil and the end of days is coming soon. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I plead with you to not procrastinate and waste this opportunity. If you are not a Christian, this is the opportunity for you to take advantage today. Don't presume. Don't look for another occasion. Make the most of this time today. Come to the Lord. You'll never regret it. Lord, I want to thank You for these few minutes that we had together. And I ask You to help us to treasure these truths in our hearts, to understand what You want us to do about what You say. And then help us to grow together as a family of God in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's bow together for a few minutes, and then we'll see if there are any comments before we dismiss.